Awesome.
You guys excited to be here together?
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I feel like, you know, a little over a week ago, I looked at the weather forecast and it said it was going to rain tonight. It said it was going to rain tomorrow. And I started praying and God started to change the weather. And look at it. Isn't it beautiful out here?
Yes, it is.
You know, the moon looks incredible and we're just going to have such a great time together. I'm so excited. Yeah. And I apologize ahead of time if I look creepy as I use this tablet to do my lesson. I just feel like this is, you know, probably going to look creepy, but it's all good. I hope I don't look creepy typically, you know, so you guys are like, I'm used to it. But, you know, I'm excited to be here for our fifth annual Campus LBI retreat, you know, and it's always an amazing, I know some of you, it's your first time, you're going to love it, it's your second time, you know, and some of us have been here even more than that. So, you know, it's always an amazing time to connect with God and to build great memories with each other. You know, God works in powerful ways at these retreats. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, two of us were at the first one, Chelsea and myself. And, you know, yesterday was the day that I proposed to her 3 years ago. And, you know, our first retreat in 2012 was when I was really starting to crush on her hard. You know, and I was at this and I remember just really starting to be like, man, I want to date this girl. You know, and it's so cool to see what God has done. And, you know, I left certain I wanted her to be my girlfriend, and now Bradley's here with us. And, you know, God works at these retreats, you know? So I hope you have a great time connecting with him and with each other. You know, these retreats are a good time to take a break from the busyness of life back home, right? You know, and I just want to encourage you to do that. You know, Satan is going to try to catch your attention with stuff going on back home. But just leave it there. You know, let this weekend be a time where you're just with God and with each other.
Come
you know,
on now.
Even if you just leave your phone in the room, do something radical, you know?
Yeah.
Leave your phone in the room for a weekend, you know? But just make this a weekend entirely focused on going deeper into God's love.
Amen.
Right? Make that the goal of your retreat this weekend. I want to leave here falling deeper in love with God.
Amen.
Soak it in. Make the most of your time here, because before you know it, you're going to be in the car driving home on Sunday.
Yeah.
And life is going to smack you in the face again.
Oh, yeah.
But the closer you are to God, the less that smack will hurt.
Oh,
you know.
Nice.
So use this weekend to get connected to God.
Amen.
The theme of our retreat is a fire inside.
Yeah. Woo!
And you guys have a fire inside.
That's right.
You know, as disciples of Jesus, we all have a fire inside of us. God's burning presence that's driving our lives.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will all leave here connected more deeply with that fire inside of us. We're studying out the book of Acts this fall. And over 55 times in the book of Acts, the Spirit is mentioned. The Spirit is the driving force in the book of Acts.
That's right.
And He must be the driving force in our lives and in our ministry as well if we want to see what God can do rather than what we can do. Because in Acts, we see what God can do because it was the Spirit working through them. So I don't want to see what we can do. I want to see what God can do. Don't you guys?
Yeah.
So we need to be in touch with the fire inside of us. Jesus established His church to continue His ministry and spread His message. But this would not and could not be a movement of man alone.
Yeah.
God must be present in this.
Yeah.
Active. And have His power involved in all that they did, so He sent His Spirit to dwell inside of them. And in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit came from heaven as what seemed to be tongues of fire. You remember that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2?
Yeah.
You know, the Spirit comes from heaven, and it says what seemed to be tongues of fire appeared all around them. But this was not a normal fire. It just seemed like fire. This was a heavenly fire. From then on, they had a fire inside. And so we see amazing things happen through the book of Acts as God's Spirit moved through them. They were deeply connected to God's presence in them.
Right.
They knew how powerful and awesome God was and what they were part of was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we need to know that as well. The title of my lesson for tonight is A Consuming Fire. We have a fire inside, and it's a consuming fire. I want to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. I'm going to read, half of what I say is going to be not my words, but God's words. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to read a lot. That better be okay. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. So I hope those, you know, because I want you guys to be inspired. So we're going to read a lot of verses. Hebrews 12, verse 18 to 29 says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him and who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." You know, we have found something amazing, haven't we?
Yeah.
We found Jesus.
Yeah.
We found God. We found the church of Jesus, his kingdom. You know, and we read this passage and it just blows our mind, the spiritual realm, what's going on that we're part of. You know, our God is a powerful fire that has consumed each of us.
Yeah.
You know, it said here, God is a consuming fire. What is God like? Who is God? God is a consuming fire. To consume means to fill something up completely, right? Like to be consumed with something means you're just totally filled with that and you can't get anything else in your head, right?
Yeah.
To be consumed with something means you're totally wrapped up in it.
Right.
And you have a fire, the consuming presence of God totally filled inside of you. You know, this passage here, it refers to some Old Testament imagery here that sometimes we're not too connected with, right? How much of that were you like, what is that talking about? You know, and you know it's probably something in the Old Testament, right? This is stuff that if we knew it and understood it, we would be even more inspired by this passage. You know, this passage has some Old Testament imagery, and I want to talk about it for a little bit. You know, fire throughout the Bible is an example of God's power. Fire throughout the Bible is a representation of God's presence. And fire throughout the Bible is a tool of God's judgment. Now, those are not 3 points to my lesson or anything.
Oh, okay.
But when you see the Old Testament, that's what you see. You see fire shows God's power. Or sometimes fire is a representation of God's presence.
Right.
Or sometimes fire was a tool of judgment on cities that disobeyed God or the Israelites when they turned away from God. Or even just our future if we're not right with God. Fire is a tool of God's judgment as well. But fortunately, by becoming disciples of Jesus, we have been taken out of the fire of God's judgment.
Amen.
In our baptism, the fire went out and then it went in.
Wow.
Zechariah chapter 3 verse 2 says we were all like sticks pulled from the fire. We were in the fire of judgment and God pulled us out like sticks. And then he put the fire out and then he put it in us. Jude chapter 1 verse 23 says, "To save others, snatching them from the fire, it says. You know, we've been saved from the fire.
Yeah.
We have been pulled out of the fire, and then God put his fire in us. You know, my goal tonight is to help us see clearly how powerful our God is. And then to know that that powerful God that we just saw is the fire that is inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have two specific points, but it's going to all flow together. But if there were two points, think of it this way. Let's catch a glimpse of how awesome God is.
Mm-hmm.
And let's realize that awesome God we just saw is inside of us.
Right.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
And I want to use the Old Testament to do that.
That's good.
You know, knowing and understanding ways that God is connected with fire in the Old Testament helps us worship him thankfully, acceptably, with reverence and awe, where we revere him and we are in awe of him. There's so many themes throughout the Bible, and the more you see them, the cooler it is. And a theme in the Bible is fire, and God dwelling with fire, in fire, through fire. And I want to look at some passages that talk about that, read them to you guys. And I want to preface it by saying the men and women that God used in the Bible saw how powerful God was, and then they did amazing things, not because of who they thought they were, but because they saw how awesome God was and knew that God was with them and had sent them. So that's what we got to do ourselves.
Yes.
We got to have a certainty. God is so stinking awesome,
powerful,
beyond comprehension, and he is with me.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do awesome things as well. You know, Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. It's the first time that God personally introduces himself.
Right.
You know, the Egyptians had the Israelites under slavery to them. And he chose Moses to lead them out of that slavery. And Moses is way out in the desert. And he's spending time out there. And then as he's in the desert, he sees a bush on fire. This bush is burning brightly, but not burning up. It draws his attention, and he goes to it. And God speaks to Moses through this fire on this burning bush. And for the first time, God introduces himself personally. What is your name? And he says, I am. You know, God appears through fire to Moses and then sends him to go free the Israelites from Egypt. And I know that Moses had that image of God being this burning fire that could not be put out as he went back to Egypt. God showed himself through this burning bush on fire. And then in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and now they're in the desert on their way to the promised land. The Israelites spend 40 years traveling through the desert on their way to Canaan, the promised land. And what it says in Exodus 13, 21 is, by day, the Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. For 40 years, 50% of their imagery and idea of who God was a pillar of fire every single night that came out and led them on their way through the desert.
Wow.
God showed himself as a pillar of fire every night to them. God led them by day as a cloud, shading and protecting them from the sun. And at night, God went before them as a fire, keeping them warm in the freezing desert nights. So that through that fire also, they connected God with the idea of comfort and meeting their needs and keeping them warm through cold and dark times, lighting their path and comforting them with his presence through a heavenly fire. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then after Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with all the commandments and this new covenant for God's people to follow, he comes down, he tells them the commandments, not just the 10, there's actually 613 commandments. This is what it takes to be my people. If you do this, we'll be in a right relationship. I've saved you out of Egypt. They get it. God wants to make sure they understood how awesome he was to make sure that they obeyed those commandments he just sent them.
Right.
And in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, basically, God says, I want to appear before them. So in Exodus 19, verse 18, it says, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Imagine God giving you his commandments, and then there's a huge mountain bursts into flames, and then it starts shaking. Don't you think you'd feel like, all right, well, listen, you're awesome, you know? God's like, listen to me. They knew how powerful of a God they had on their side as they were about to conquer the promised land. You know, this image was given them to help them remain his holy people. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to disobey that God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I'm not going to be afraid of them because that's my God. God gave them the image of how powerful he was. You know, I could go on and on. All throughout the rest of the Old Testament are amazing instances of God with fire. Two of my favorites is in 1 Kings. You guys know the story of Elijah calling down fire? Yeah. I mean, the Israelites had just turned away from God, and they were worshiping another god called Baal. And Baal was a terrible god, not only not being real, but made them sacrifice their children, you know, and just so many other things that were just breaking God's heart. Many of the Israelites turned from God and were worshiping Baal. There was hundreds and hundreds of prophets of Baal, and there was almost zero prophets of God. But there was Elijah, who was a prophet of the true God. And Elijah goes up on a mountain, and there's thousands of people gathered, hundreds of prophets of Baal. And Elijah goes, how about we see whose God is real? You set up an altar and you call your onto Baal to light it on fire. And if he could do that, then we'll worship Baal. And I'll set up an altar and I'll call on my God. And if he lights it on fire, then we'll worship my God. And the prophets of Baal go first and they start calling out to their God and nothing happens. And Elijah's like, maybe Baal is off somewhere and he can't hear you and you need to cry louder. So they start cutting themselves, screaming for attention. Nothing happens. And then Elijah's turn comes up. And Elijah goes, hey guys, before I start, can you just fill up some buckets of water and dump them all over my altar? And they pour buckets and buckets of water on Elijah's altar. And then Elijah says this epic prayer, basically saying, God, you are the real God. You show yourself to them. And then his altar bursts into flames. And then they go ahead and they kill all the prophets of Baal. Throw their ashes in the river. God is like, I am the real God. Don't you dare worship anyone besides me. Showing himself through fire. I love that story. You should go read it. It's a good quiet time tomorrow. 1 Kings. Another story. Shorter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon sets up this gold statue of himself and says, you have to worship this statue or else you'll be killed. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego are Jews faithful to God. And they decide, we are not going to worship that statue. And someone goes and tells on him. And King Nebuchadnezzar pulls him in. And they say, I heard that you're not worshiping my statue. And they say, we will not worship your statue. And he says, turn the furnace on and light it up hotter than ever before. And then Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego say, our God is able to save us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your statue. And then King Nebuchadnezzar throws all three of them in the furnace. And he's looking in the furnace. The two servants that threw him in died on their own from how hot the furnace was. King Nebuchadnezzar is looking in, and he sees all three of them standing there, not burned at all. And he actually sees a fourth person standing in there with them that he said, look like a son of man. And then Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego come walking out totally unburned. Wow. Isn't that so inspiring?
Yeah.
I mean, just the image they had and the Jews had of God in there, in the fire with them. This will pass by. You know, all throughout the Old Testament are incredible stories of God showing himself in fire. You know, I want to read Psalm 60, verses 1 to 6 to you. It says, "The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets." You know, when you come see the sun rise or see the sun set tomorrow, think about how God was the one that told the sun to come up, and God's the one that tells the sun to go down. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may be judge, that he may judge his people. "Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice." You know, what imagery, right? And it says, a fire devours before him. He shines forth. You know, just picture God coming and there's just this fire devouring everything in front of him. What a magnificent view of God. You know, the people who were called by God in the Old Testament believed that a fire was inside of them because they knew these passages and the ways that God revealed himself through such a powerful fire. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, not only was God a fire, but his words within them were a fire. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Because the people have spoken these words against me, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes."
Wow.
And then Jeremiah 20, verse 9, Jeremiah, who that was told to, says, "But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Three chapters later, Jeremiah 23, 29, God says again, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" Jeremiah shows us that God's word is powerful like a fire. The last Old Testament passage I want to read. You guys with me?
Yeah.
You know, when God called Ezekiel, he began by, it says, opening the heavens and giving him a vision of God. In Ezekiel chapter 1, listen to this. Ezekiel says, "I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light." Just try to picture this. "The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked something like a vault, sparkling like crystal and awesome. Under the vault, their wings were stretched out, one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the vault and over their heads as they stood up with lowered wings. Above the vault, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. Wow. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down. And I heard the voice of one speaking. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." And he spoke. The Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you."
Wow. Come on.
Wow. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
How do you think Ezekiel felt about being sent by God after seeing that? Wow. Who do you think he was afraid of?
Nobody.
Who suddenly looked so powerful and who didn't?
Right.
All Ezekiel saw was an appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. That's what that description just was. That's like quickly seeing a rough sketch of a picture of someone who looks like somebody and being amazed. From that image, Ezekiel just fell on his face at the awesomeness of an appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. You know, throughout the Bible, we see God's power expressed through this marvelous heavenly fire. And all Jews would have made these connections and seen this pattern through the Old Testament. And I want to ask you tonight, do you know how awesome God is? Do you understand how awesome God is? Are you amazed at how awesome God is? God wants you to know how awesome He is. That's why He gave us these visions, these passages to read. I believe that's why He gave us the moon like this tonight. Why He gives us storms, lightning, wind, thunder and fire, the ocean, the mountains. He gives us this stuff to get a faint idea of the likeness of His glory and power. You know, from time to time, there are things that amaze us. You know, it might be a sports clip, it might be a song, it might be just something crazy somebody did on YouTube. Things that get us to jump up and down, get excited. But if you saw God, the Bible says you would die. It literally says that. God says, "No one can see me and live." That's, God is so awesome that if you just saw Him for a second, you would die. Literally. That when we go to heaven, the Bible says we need new bodies just so we could survive in His presence. That's how freaking awesome God is. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
If you saw God, you'd suddenly be bored to death by anything else that ever even made you remotely excited. By anything that's ever excited, astounded, or dazzled you, God would trump all of that like it was nothing.
Yes.
God compares to no one. And we need to know how radiant, impressive, and dominating our God is over everything else. Amen?
Amen.
But He doesn't want you to just know how powerful He is. He wants you to know that He is on your side and He is with you all the time.
Yeah.
That's how amazing the cross is. We went from being an enemy, an object of wrath, to the God in that vision that Ezekiel saw, to having that God on our side, sending us as well. We were in the line of that devouring fire going before Him. But now we're on the other side of that, devouring behind with Him.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Because of the cross, we've completely changed sides. And now we have God living in us, working through us. 2,000 years ago, when our brothers and sisters were praying in an upper room together, and suddenly fire appeared around them, these stories and scriptures from the Old Testament must have come to mind.
Right.
And it wasn't like us reading it and thinking, oh, cool, fire. They were like, this is like Moses and the burning bush. This is like Elijah on the mountain. This is like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. This is like Jeremiah's preaching. This is like Ezekiel's vision. And now it's us.
Right.
It's God's fire with us.
Yeah.
That's us now.
Wow.
The God that shakes the earth is with us now.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Wow.
And he's with us in even a better way than he was with them then.
Yeah.
And that's what Hebrews said. Because back then they couldn't even touch the mountain, they would die. But now that same fire is inside of them. The one that would have killed them to touch is now in them because of the cross.
Amen.
He's with us now. And so despite fears or whatever else they had going on in Acts chapter 1, they changed the world and died faithful despite incredible persecution and challenges because they knew how powerful their God was.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that God was with them, in them, by His Spirit.
Amen.
And they would rather be an enemy to the world and a friend to this amazing, powerful God than be a friend to the world and an enemy to that incredible God.
Yeah.
They had a tremendous fire inside. They knew it and they let it consume them. And we must know how awesome God is and then know that He has consumed you and He is with you in the same way He was with them.
That's right.
That changed them. How is that changing you? How has that changed you? You can overcome any fear knowing that God is with you.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about how many times the Bible says not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why not? Many of those passages are God saying it, followed by, "For I am with you." Don't be afraid because God is with us. We don't need to be afraid because we can know that He is with us and we know how awesome He is. You know, you don't need to be afraid of any person. You don't need to be afraid of sharing your faith. You don't need to be afraid when facing persecution or when someone is mocking your faith because God is with you.
Yeah.
You know, you can overcome guilt and shame. You know, you might struggle with holding on to sin from your past or just being weighed down by shame or guilt and just constantly thinking God isn't totally approved with you. You've got to see that God is powerful enough to completely eradicate all of your sin.
Yeah.
And you not need to worry about it anymore.
Right.
Don't hold on to it. If a God that holy, mighty, and awesome forgives you, consider it done.
Yeah.
He's taken complete care of it on the cross and He is with you. You know, it could help you overcome worry, insecurity, or doubt. You know, when you know how powerful God is and you believe He is with you, you don't need to worry.
Right.
He's bigger than your problem.
Yeah.
He's stronger than your adversary.
Yeah.
He can get you through the toughest of times. He is there with you through the hardest moments, even when it feels like nobody is. God is with you.
That's right.
Whatever situation you find yourself in, He can get you through it. He is able to take care of you. The Spirit being in us should change us dramatically.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says that the Spirit is the Lord.
Right.
You know, the Spirit, you guys with me still?
Yeah.
You know, the Spirit is the third manifestation of the fullness of God that we see in Scripture.
Wow.
The Spirit, and I just want you to make sure you get this. The Spirit is not an it. It's He. It's God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Spirit is God.
Right.
The Spirit is not part of God or essence of God.
Yeah.
The Spirit is the Lord.
Yeah.
In Acts 2, the promise is given that anyone who believes and repents and is baptized will be forgiven and receive the Spirit. So all of us who are baptized biblically right here, right now, have God, the consuming fire, inside of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you could believe that 100% if you believe the Bible.
Yeah, wow.
The fullness of Jesus is in us. Not part, not not essence, the full presence of God is in you. God is not just way up in the sky somewhere. You know, it helps me to look up, but sometimes I'm doing that and I'm like, why am I looking up there? He's right here. I don't need to look up. He's right here. He is in you, with you, always, by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?
Yeah.
Do you not know? Guys, we got to know this. Yeah. We got to know that God's Spirit is in us. John 14:16-17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. We've got to know that the Spirit dwells within us. Do you know that the Spirit dwells in you? You don't just have His number in your phone, His address in your GPS, or you don't just have a weekly time or daily time scheduled with God. You're not just with God when you have your quiet time. He is with you always,
yeah.
All day, uh-huh. All night. We have to let that sink in.
Yeah.
Our God is a consuming fire that we are constantly filled with.
Yeah.
He tells us over and over so we could be absolutely sure He is with us. You've got to know for yourself, God is with you.
Yeah.
Over and over, God tells us in the Bible, I am with you. He wants you to know it, to be sure of it, to really believe it all the time. God is with me. You've got to really connect with that personally.
Yeah.
He's with each and every single one of us who have been baptized into Christ. I want to read some passages where God tells us He's with us. And I want you to connect with us with this personally. So I'm going to read your names before I read them. So first I want to talk to Ramona, Abby, Nicole, Allison, Evian, and David. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Dushana, Jessica, Hannah, Carla, JD, and Manny. God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Sua, Teresa, Carrie, Gabe, Rosa, Jordan, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Becca, Vanessa, Sydney, Nick, Rosalind, Sam, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Amaka, Brielle, Desiree, Dorian, Charles. God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Marie, Patricia, Shauna, Ed, Brent, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
Right.
I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Imani, Chisholm, Ziamara, Mark, and Matt, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Juliet, Elna, Simone, Fernando, and Daryl. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. To all of us, in Romans 8, 38 to 39, it says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you so much. There is nothing. This passage says there is nothing that can separate you from his love. You've got to know with certainty that God loves you and God is with you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's repeat these verses together. Repeat after me, Psalm 18, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Let's repeat that. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Repeat this. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph over my enemies. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph over my enemies. One more. I keep my eyes on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God is with you. You've got to be sure of that. And I want to close out by saying, as sure as you can be that God is with you, you be with him.
Yeah.
That's what I want to close out saying. God is giving you 100%. Give it back.
Yeah.
As certain as you are that God is with you, let God be that certain that you're with him.
Yeah.
Psalm 73, verse 23. The psalmist writes, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you?
Yeah.
And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Yeah.
For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. Guys, don't be unfaithful to God. With the same vigor, passion, with the same intensity that God has to being with you, be devoted back to him.
Amen.
As he is with you always, you be with him always. You need to be here because you love God so much. Because he loves you so much. And he's with you. So you are going to be with him no matter what. That's why we got to be here. And as he will go through anything with you, you go through anything with him.
That's right. That's right.
How dare we? How dare we leave God for anyone or anything when he will never do that to us? Especially considering who he is and who we are.
Yeah.
Come on. Consider how awesome he is, what he's done for us, how much he loves us. He's the one that died for us. Certainly we should be willing to die for him.
Yeah.
So as God would never allow anything to take you away from him, let us never allow anything to take us away from him.
Yeah.
To take God away from you. As sure as God is continually with you, we must be like the writer of this song. I am continually with you, Lord. Whom have I but you? Who do I desire besides you? You are my portion forever. Make that your conviction.
Right. Yeah.
Give God all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And as surely as Jesus promised you, I am with you always to the very end. You keep your vow that you will be with him always to the very end. Amen?
Amen.
I want all of us to look up to God and tell him with confidence and conviction together. Lord, I love you and I am with you to the end. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Let's look up and tell God that. Lord, I love you and I am with you to the end. You gotta mean it. Our God is a consuming fire. Let's see clearly how unbelievably mighty, awesome, and powerful our God is. And know with certainty that that amazing God dwells within you and is with you all the time. And you commit yourself to keep that fire burning inside of you to the very end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in song. Woo!